we are alive in the room, in the house. Although we have a few sickos not with us. Sickos like Jill.
We love you.
Not with us. And sickos like
Ezra
and Bronwyn.
Bronwyn's okay.
Bronwyn's okay?
And there's no fever, so.
Okay, well, that's good.
Not today.
All right. So let's, the rest of you sickos, turn to page 4.
In the praise notebook.
What's a Mormon name again? Glenn Beck. What would he used to call his, I don't know if he still does, he used to call his listeners something, sick freaks.
Yeah.
See, I'm not that mean. I just call you sickos.
Or sick freak for short.
It's a Mormon thing.
All right, page 4. Give you a second. It's in the praise book. The theme of our Bible study today, right here in a song written by Jenny a few years ago. Give us an intro there.
All over the earth they were scattered. God's people, Israel, tossed to the wind. But God promised to raise them up. Dry bones will
Love lifted me. was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. Love this. 1:4. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, from the waters lifted me, now safe am I.
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, from the waters lifted me, now safe am I.
She's lead. So that's why it sounded bad. And then I smacked the microphone just to put some icing on the cake there. I just wanted you to understand what
was
going on.
We like icing
here.
On our cake.
Everybody's looked shocked a little. So let's take it from the top, and now I know that I don't sing lead.
Good noise.
My faith looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine. Now hear me when I pray, take all my sin away. Oh, let me from this day be holy.
BBFOhio@protonmail.com. Raise your hand in the house. Janie is going to bring by a prayer card.
Hi, Jill. We're praying for you.
Amen.
I guess. Dad.
I love you, gorgeous.
Aww.
John, come up here. Come up here and say it.
Say it to her face.
Say it to her face.
Like you mean it.
Well, let's see. Back right the stairs.
For the onliners' sake, so they understand.
Okay, right there. Stop. Right
there. Here.
Sister
right
Jill there. Is spending the spent the night in a place like a hospital.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it is a hospital, right?
Yeah, it is.
And I won't give out the name or anything. We keep that kind of information private. But this is her lesser half, John, who wants to speak to his better half. Go ahead, John.
Thus, behind every great man is a great wife.
Amen.
Amen.
Look at that.
I love you. All right.
Look at the camera.
All right, gorgeous. I love you. We miss you very much here, and we pray for 100% recovery.
Amen.
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 And don't think I'm insulting him. I am the lesser half. Jenny is my better half. I think any man who has a good wife feels that way. And
amen.
If he ever loses her, you'll know it, because he'll just shrivel up and want to die.
Yep.
So we appreciate our spouses.
Amen.
Sound checks, I guess. I want to make sure you're back ready back there, Sean. I guess I better put my microphone on. That's there as much for me as it is for the camera people. You hear that tapping?
Perfect.
All right. How many of you had a nice Thanksgiving weekend?
Yes.
It was interesting.
Interesting.
Up until yesterday, because of the Buckeye laws. Well, we got so used to winning every year against Michigan, you got to lose one once in a while, I guess.
It's a sign of the times.
It definitely has a return to the state of rivalry we've known in the past. And
it's a sign of the times.
But I just hope you're one of the. I used to be one of those people that, like, sports was a major part of my life. I would watch games and things, and if High State had lost, during the 90s, I was very depressed. Because the Buckeyes lost almost every year to Michigan. But I think it's a matter of spiritual growth when you don't let what a bunch of fellas kicking around a pigskin ball do affect you personally. And so actually after the game was over, you know, I went out and shot my gun. Actually, I shot Charlie's gun.
And you shot it towards Michigan?
Yes, in that direction. We killed, we absolutely murdered a pumpkin. And
you need more?
Literated.
Me and Charlie and Matt, but then we spent probably 20 minutes just talking about the Lord. And then our Thursday here, with the Thanksgiving we had here, I thought it was just another wonderful event.
Beautiful.
You have beautiful turkey, and it tasted good, too.
Yeah.
You can have pretty ones that don't taste good, amen?
Yeah.
So I'm glad to hear that. And as far as we know, everybody's got home safe, except for I haven't heard from Dan. Hopefully he comes in a little late today. We'll hear from Dan. All right, silence those cell phones, if you would. And I'll give sip your coffee if you got one.
Right.
Or tea. Or water, or whatever. All right, we're going to be in Luke 21:28 when these things begin to come to pass. That's the wrong, but I want you to see this little video about the attitude we should have as Thanksgiving weekend comes to a close.
There you are.
Some of you are familiar with that song.
Yep.
And, Thanksgiving holiday is over, but being thankful is not just a one-day event. And being thankful for Jesus is something should be daily, yeah. Hourly, moment by moment. Amen?
Yeah.
And years ago, people asked me why I put out the nativity scenes that we put out. And it's like, when I was an unsaved young man, it wasn't the same. But haven't you watched that movie, Home Alone?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
that scene where the kid goes by the church and they have the nativity, and then he goes in and talks to the old man and everything. I had a similar kind of moment, I remember. And I just remember I was all caught up in Christmas without Christ. And I wasn't saved, so, you know. But then we were at this place down southern Ohio where they had a bunch of Christmas lights and everything. And one of the, then a whole section was all about the nativity. And it had, I mean, really nice stables and, you know, manger and the inn and all that. And we watched the movie the other day where the same sort of thing happened. And it dawned on me how strange it was. All of us people who really weren't even, we weren't Christians. And here we are celebrating the birth of Christ. And that was just one of those numerous things that the Holy Spirit put me under conviction thinking about. You know, that you think about our culture and our society and how much of it has been, you know, people just kind of go with it. But if you think about the influence it's been and why it's there, why do we do what we do? Thanksgiving was one of those, you know, holidays. So just whatever we can do to get people to think about Jesus. But then hopefully, prayerfully, having the opportunity to explain the gospel. Mm-hmm. That's the main point. And 27 days.
Yeah.
And I just love that, you know, Brian mentioned earlier about how we go into, you hear people were singing these songs. They're not even Christians, and they're singing about Jesus coming and,
amen.
And coming to die for our sins. And that He might set men free, all those kind of, you know, and it's sad and they don't even think about what they're singing. But it's great when you're walking in and play all these stores that aren't Christian or anything, and they're playing music about Jesus. And then you get the other Rudolph and Frosty and stuff like that. But in between, they throw in those songs. It's a pretty amazing thing to behold. All right, as we get into our current events. I'm going to limit the questions, comments, just a couple because we're getting a late start, but please hold those to the end of the current events update. Number one, we were challenged nicely regarding our report on NASA on a Wednesday night, 11/16. This is my comment here that it wasn't like, you liar, you know, or anything like that. But they just challenged me on it, and I wanted to share it with you.
And lastly, to the moon! But with a globalist, woke, and evolutionary agenda. And it's evolutionary, and I'll just summarize this. They're hoping to find extraterrestrial life in order to bolster the evolutionary fairy tale. Because if they can come up with
this?
Some form of life on another planet, say, see, it just popped into existence and evolved, or it may became, they call it panspermia. It may have come from an alien advanced race way out there somewhere, and they came and planted seeds of life on there. You know, it's just cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. But they're grasping at anything that they can get rid of creation and its creator. Anything so that it's all natural and didn't involve a creator God. That's the whole point. If life exists out there, it must have come from non-living matter and evolved. And if you don't think that that's behind the agenda of NASA, you're clueless. I've been saying it since I was a baby.
And that was a while ago. But the challenge was that I didn't just give a summary. I didn't actually provide anything from NASA. So I'm going to do that now. I want to show you the NASA space program is motivated by the desire to rid humanity of God, the God of the Bible. They don't mind if you have a God who's just out there somewhere. But this is NASA's purpose behind the Juno mission. Have you heard of the Juno mission? It's they've now got the Juno module orbiting Jupiter and collecting data and everything. This is from their website, the section for Juno. These are their words. Quote, Juno will improve our understanding of the solar system's beginnings by revealing the origin and evolution of Jupiter.
Right there.
It is all too explain away creation and put everything in natural terms. Everything just happened. This is their mission overview. It was launched back in 2011. It arrived at Jupiter in 2016. And the goal, quote, understand origin and evolution of Jupiter. And it goes on to look for solid planetary core, map magnetic field, all that, et cetera, et cetera. And then I got this from Hubble. Hubble captures three phases of evolving supernova in ear. That's a joke. It was truncated. But I couldn't get the link to work to find out what the rest of that says.
Earth source.
Yeah, something like that. But anyway, there's again three phases of evolving supernova. Everything's evolving, and so if you go to NASA's website, it's all over the place in their statements, and they have a globalist agenda. They are all about bringing the whole world together, and so everything they do is with the international outreach kind of flavor to it, so that we can all hold hands together. The International Space Station. And it's really only been, United States is the mover and shaker. They've worked some with the Russians. Everyone else, they just go up on NASA craft and visit. It's not international. But see, they don't want to call it an American thing because they're globalists and they want everybody to feel like, oh, you're a part of it.
Cameroon,
right. So it's the Antichrist spirit of Babel. And what the Bible tells us to do is have discernment. So please start reading things with Bible goggles on so you can see what's going on. Genesis 11:1 says, and the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. That's not, God says this is a bad thing because of how man uses it. So what's he do? Well, first they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto where?
Heaven.
And let us make us a name, lest we, look at all that. It's all about us, we, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the earth. And so what did God do? He scattered them abroad upon the face of the earth. And that's what's wrong with what's going on today with most of public education and most anywhere where you see the word peace today. It's a godless, beat our chest, man, look what man can do. I got news for you. That includes most conservatives today. Pride in America. Proud to be an American. Proud to be MAGA. Proud patriot. You know, it's proud. And when you, they're not just saying things and not really meaning it. When you read a lot of stuff they're writing and everything, a lot of those people are very godless. And we talked about those people during the tribulation period who won't take the mark, but they'll fight the Antichrist. That's what kind of people these are. And so we thank God for anybody who stands up for the Constitution, but don't be fooled. Just because you're a conservative doesn't mean you're a Christian. Yeah. And I'm not even talking about the rhinos or the liberals. No glory to God. That's the big problem. But God promises in Obadiah 1:4, though thou exalt thyself as the eagle, and though thou set thy nest among the stars... Their goal is they're going to put a station up on the moon. And the International Space Station will be the go-between to the moon. And then from the moon to Mars, somewhere they're saying around 2030. And then the idea is to skip wherever they can put a base. And God says, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord. Secondly, in our current events update, the anti-Christian hate is heating up. Of course, it's been hot all over the world. Christian persecution is escalating in at least 18 countries. Escalating. It's already in many countries, but in 18 countries, they saw escalating trends. 200 Pakistani Christians, just for an example, were left homeless after authorities bulldozed their homes without warning. Just because they're Christians, they brought bulldozers. Can you imagine you guys sitting there watching the football game yesterday, and then the bulldozers show up to bulldoze your place, and you're yelling and screaming, and they're doing it, and they're like, why are you doing it? It's because you're a Christian. That's the only reason they did it. China does it. And in places like Saudi Arabia and other countries, you can't even, if you just talk about Jesus, you can get your head cut off. Meanwhile, in America, this is the kind of stuff going on the social media sites. This man who acts like a woman says, "Dear media outlets, why the blank are y'all doing so many stories and interviews with Candace Cameron Bure? She's a bigot. Instead, amplify LGBTQ voices and stars." Listen to this. "They're so perverted that they lie and lie and lie. Quote, our voices and experiences always end up being silenced."
Yeah.
"And voices like hers get published. The queers control the media. Every mainline station, including Fox News and Newsweek, all of them, call men women and call women men and talk about gay rights and gay marriage in a favorable manner. And listen, they're coming against Candace Cameron Bure because she's on Great American Family Network and said that she's going to make movies that are based in traditional marriage.
Amen.
That's not good enough. We tried to tell people for years, these queers, these sodomites, these whatever you want to call them, are not gay. They're angry. They hate their own lives. They hate their lives. They hate God. They hate Jesus Christ. They hate the followers of Christ. And they are all about forcing you to completely embrace Sodom. It's not good enough that you let them do anything. All we want to do is get married. Not good enough. Now it's adopt children. Now it's you better do our marriage. They're trying to force you to do their marriages with the Respect for Marriage Act. Yep. And put you in prison if you won't do the things they want you to do for their sin that they call a lifestyle. It's an abomination. If you don't believe me, watch the Sunday school class this morning. God says that when you choose that wickedness, you're the abomination, not your sin. You are the abomination. That's Bible. I don't care what your Sunday school teacher taught you. I don't care what your own mother taught you. The Bible says that God says that when you embrace that sin and you identify yourself as LGBTQ, you have become the abomination.
Amen.
And people say, well, God's going to judge America because of homosexuality. I got news for you. It is the judgment of God on this nation. Probably a mix of between killing all the babies we have since 1973 and all the other porn and wickedness pouring out of this country, and he's cursing us with LGBTQ. Yeah. That's the reality. I won't get into the other people, but this is the kind of stuff that they don't do anything about. Focus on the family headquarters vandalized by an LGBT group after that Club Q shooting.
Wow.
And the left is becoming more and more violent. This is a story. They had places where people were spray painting, "If abortion ain't safe, you ain't safe. If we can't murder babies, we're going to murder you." That's what they're saying.
Yeah.
Pro-life centers are 22 times more likely to be attacked than abortion facilities. If you watch the news, you'd think it's the opposite. They make a big deal anytime even threats even call it in at an abortion facility. They don't even report when pro-life pregnancy centers are damaged. They're bomb threats. There are all kinds of things going on there, and they don't even report it. Much of the hate toward Bible believers is from the religious left. That's something a lot of Christians are waking up to. More than half of the people who call themselves Christian in this country are a bunch of liars. They're not Christians. They're fakes. Ask them if they believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. You must be born again. That he is God in human flesh, who paid for the sins of the whole world, was buried and rose from the dead bodily, and is going to rapture us out of here. You won't find, if I was a betting man, I'd put money down on that it'd be less than 60% of the people you would talk to who call themselves Christian and are members of churches.
Amen.
The Bible said there'd be a great falling away. We're there. The majority of Christians and churches are gone. And they're attacking the true Bible believers. In John 16:2, Jesus said, "Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service." I believe, we've already seen some of that, obviously. But it would be a lot worse if they just had the power and ability to do it. They'd do it.
Yeah.
And finally, some quick picks. Just a reminder, follow the science. Follow the science. Vaccinated people are now a majority of COVID-19 deaths. We showed you that from the Washington Post, left-wing publication. It's no longer a pandemic of the unvaccinated. I got news for you. It never was. That was just pure propaganda from an Orwellian communist Biden administration. And sadly, a lot of Republicans and independents got all caught up in it just as well. On a lighter note, the inventor of the wind chill factor died recently. He was 82, but he felt like he was 64. And how many of you ate some plant-based mashed potatoes? It even says in small print up there, made for NASA. You know why I think they did that? Because they know how dumb these people are. Like, oh, plant-based. Oh, I'm virtue signaling. Take my picture, put it on social media. Soccer team apologizes for running up the score to 2-0 in a blowout. If you hate soccer like me, you'll get that. It's the most boring sport ever invented, and the United States and England went to an exciting finish of 0-0 the other day. Wow. And it's typical of soccer. If you're out there running around kicking the ball, I'm sure it's fun, but I've tried to watch it. I'm like, well, this is the wave of the future. All the communists are, joining on, this. I was told when I was a kid, that's a communist sport. Why? Because you don't have to have any money to play. And in communism, you're all poor. So if they make us all communists, soccer is the game. All you need is a fishnet and a ball. Think about that. And it takes a little money to play football, and have, especially if you play tackle with pads and helmets and everything. You have baseball, not as much money, but it takes a little more money. The soccer is the game that the whole world can play when you're all in third world status.
Wow.
I'm not saying it's a sin to play soccer. I'm just saying I can't stand it. Turkey denied presidential pardon after photos emerge of it attending January 6th. See in there? It's got the MAGA hat on. These are Babylon Bee. Just in case some of you think this is the real news, because you can't tell these days.
I'm glad that one's fake.
This one could be real. In huge Black Friday sales, store to sell everything for the price it was before Biden became president. You think about it, if they put the prices back down to where they were in 2020, summer of 2020 or whatever, that'd be a huge sale.
Yeah.
And that's that. All right, real quick. Yeah.
This just in, NASA's Juno finds copy of King James Bible on the surface of Jupiter.
Right. All right, we're getting a really late start, so I'm going to go ahead and get in there, Bible study. That comment by Brian just says it all.
Is it like in plastic and so it was never opened?
Yeah.
Probably.
That's why it's dead.
All right, let's get into the study with a word of prayer. Ask Brother Jim if you would open Bible study prayer.
Lord, Father, we ask your blessing of the service this morning. Thank you, Lord, for what pastors prepared for us, Lord. I pray right now, Lord, we have open hearts and minds to receive from you. Lord, we do lift up all those who aren't here, Lord, especially those who are under the weather. We just pray your hand of blessing and mercy upon them. We just ask your blessing over everything said and done. In Jesus Christ's name.
Amen. All right, when these things begin to come to pass, in light of the signs of the second coming, how should believers respond? We're just going to read one verse, Luke 21:28. So if you dare, read that with me. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Amen?
Yeah.
Now, Now, the reason why I'm going to focus on this morning, I want to spend some time here for a few minutes, because there's a lot of people who we would otherwise agree with, who are dispensational, pre-tribulation, etc., and they will tell you that this verse isn't something that we should grasp and take as a promise or a commandment. And I just believe they're wrong. Amen. And I believe they hurt people when they take these kind of promises away from them. Mm-hmm. And I think it also distorts your understanding of Scripture. And what we're all about when we get together at BBF is to help you understand the Scripture so that when you go home and read it the other 6 days of the week, that you understand what you're reading and God's Holy Spirit can work in your heart and mind because you have clarity when you're in His Word. Amen. This is something else I saw. Jesus accused of being a Christian nationalist after saying He's going to establish His kingdom over the whole earth. But, you know, the reason that it's funny because, you know, that's what we're... Christians have always said, preach the gospel to the whole world.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
And then one day Jesus is going to rule and reign. That's Christianity. But today's leftists are so clueless, have never been taught anything about Christianity, so then when they hear the real truth about Christianity, they're shocked. They're like, what is this cult in our midst? It's Christianity. And you'll see that among people. They have no idea what Christianity is, and they think they know, and then they're going to tell you you're a bad Christian when you're a good Christian. If you preach against sin, if you preach the gospel, if you say Jesus is the only way to heaven, you're a terrible Christian. Like, what are you basing that on? Have you actually read just the Gospel of John, for example? I'll sit down once in a while, I'll get them to read it. Come over here to Matthew 23 with me. I've had a couple times where they read it and they're like, wow, I never knew that was in the Bible. It's a good book. You ought to read it sometime. Amen? There's one important word that many Bible teachers and readers miss in our text. A lot of times just one word makes all the difference.
Yep.
And when these things begin to come to pass, that's what they miss. It's not just when these things come to pass. When these things begin to come to pass. They begin and these things have begun.
Amen.
Jesus isn't speaking to those going through the tribulation when he says that. He's talking to his followers, and in the context, he's talking about leading up to the things. And it says he is speaking to those who see the beginnings of these things. Now just think about it. Israel being regathered into her land. From the time of Christ, we'll say 70 AD, after he ascended to heaven, 70 AD, Israel, the Jews, have been scattered around the whole planet. No other people group have survived that. They have not maintained their language. They have not maintained their religion. They have not gone back to their land and established the government again as a people. Only one people group have ever done that. Just happens to be the one God said he would do that with.
Amen.
It's one of the greatest evidences for the existence of God, and that God being the God of the Bible, is the prophecies about Israel. And we're seeing the final stage of that taking place before our eyes. Jeremiah 30, we read not too long ago in our Bible reading. For lo, the days come, this is verse 3, saith the Lord, that I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel and Judah, saith the Lord. And we looked at why that's talking about. We know it's talking about the end times. He goes on to say, and I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it. Later he says they'll never be removed again. Well, that couldn't have been when Jesus came because they were removed again. But there's this time they're going back. It's not a complete fulfillment. Israel right now is just as godless as they were in 70 AD. And there's a remnant of believers over there. But when this thing's all said and done, we're seeing the stage being set for when Jesus returns. And so Jews have begun going home. Number two, global government and digital currency. We've talked about, when I was a kid, they were just talking about this. That one of these days, you're not even going to have to use cash. Yeah. How many of you lived in the 70s and early 80s and remember those discussions?
Yeah, amen.
How many of you haven't even lived in a world where you had to have cash? Because as of anybody being born in the late 90s, you've been able to get by without cash. And there's more and more talk about not even being able to have cash. That's their goal. Well, that's what Revelation 13 says we should look for. And when it begins to come to pass, look up. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand and their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark. Not cash, a mark. Or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. So you have to have this, be into this system, a cashless system, in order to even be able to buy, sell, or trade. We're seeing it. The cashless global currency has begun to take effect. Look up, amen?
Amen.
The revival of Sodom. It's wild how many professing Christians are so spiritually blank. To not even recognize that what's going on with the so-called LGBTQ movement today is a huge fulfillment of Bible prophecy. Just simply, Jesus said in Luke 17, 28, likewise also as it was in the days of Lot. Where did Lot live?
Sodom.
And Sodom was just like the major cities in the United States of America, just like Tel Aviv and Jerusalem and Israel, just like most major cities around the world. Full of sodomites, full of perversion, full of, I believe it was the equivalent of what we call today, child sex trafficking.
Yep.
And I believe just like today, a lot of the politicians were involved in it. Lot was the exception.
That's right.
The sodomite revival has begun, and I'll say it, and I'll never apologize for telling you the truth. This is a fact. Pedophilia is part of the sodomite LGBTQ movement. Don't you be fooled. You go back and study from 1969, the modern movement that began at Stonewall Union up there in New York, where they rioted because they were being told they couldn't have sex in the streets and have sex out in trailers. There's 18-wheeler trailers they filled with men, and I won't get into all that, what they were doing. And they rebelled against the government and had a riot. But from that point on, that's what gave birth to the gay pride movement. Most Americans have this pretty idea of, oh, this gay couple was discriminated against, and that's what caused... That ain't what caused gay pride. The gay rights movement was begun by a bunch of fornicating, wicked, abominable people gathered by the dozens for group sex in public. That's what started the so-called gay rights movement in America. But I'll tell you this, from the beginning, you can find that the leaders were pedophilic. Even Harvey Milk, how many of you saw the Harvey Milk? They named a ship after the guy. He was having sex with young men. How many of you watched the Kinsey Syndrome DVD? The Kinsey Report. You ever watch that? You got to watch it. It's ugly, but you got to watch it if you're going to understand what's going on in this country. It's the Ohio State University and University of Indiana paid people to molest children and collect the data.
Oh, wow.
And that is on record, and you won't hear about it in the mainstream media.
No.
You're going to hear that from anybody. And the whole Kinsey thing was based on also these college professors at Indiana and Ohio State and prisoners. And then they used that information as the data to then tell you 10% of the people in this country are gay and so forth. Rick?
There's been some talk about the man who started the modern transgender movement was also a pedophile. And there's the study about whether or not you can make a child transgender with some twins. One twin was made to dress up like a girl.
Yeah.
The other wasn't. Both of them ended up dying from drugs and suicide. So that's not talked about either.
We posted that in the MeWe group sometime in October, I think it was. The names slipped my mind, but it's, again, a documented thing.
And that's from the 50s.
Yeah, that was, that's going back a little ways.
48
and 53. And then I think the last one I'll bring up is the visible church in apostasy.
Yes.
That is, a lot of people don't even realize that's one of the signs of the times even.
Yeah.
Jesus said in Luke 18:8, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? That's where Jenny got the line in one of her one of the lines in her song that we sang a little while ago. It'll be so apostate. You know, there's a picture of Jesus knocking on a door to get inside a church. Well, you know what? If anybody in here is saved, and I believe you all are, you brought Jesus with you.
Amen.
If there's a church building where Jesus is knocking to get in, it's because people in there aren't saved. Laodicea, Jesus is knocking to get inside that church. Those are unsaved people in there. And that's been taught falsely by a lot of fundamentalists through the years. And they've said, well, we're in the church of Laodicea. And but there's some saved. No, not at all. It's a church who the members are naked. If you're saved, you're clothed in the righteousness of Christ. You're not naked.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those people are blind in Laodicea. Go read in Revelation 3.
Yeah.
They're blind. I once was blind, but now I see.
Amen.
And so a lot of this, I've been telling you, there's so much false teaching on this stuff, even by people that otherwise claim to be Bible believers. But the apostasy of evangelicalism has begun. Of course, I showed you how the evangelical media is embracing Sodom little by little and bringing it in. Yeah, Johnny?
I can confirm that I'm pretty sure that is how our former church taught about Laodicea, right?
What was it again?
Well, that it did not mean that there's all unsaved in there.
Yeah. There's a lot of churches that are teaching that, yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's the impression I got the first few times I learned it.
So that list goes on and on of things that are the stages of being set. We see the beginnings of it and all that so the church can look up.
Amen.
If you're saved.
Yeah.
If your church is made up of Bible-believing, born-again Christians, you can look up. Verse 28 again says, and when these things begin to come to pass, then look up. I take that as a commandment.
Amen.
See, but it's not just, I'm going to have a positive attitude. Everything is beautiful. It's not just this, but that's what the world has been selling with the positive thinking and the Norman Vincent Peale and the Robert Schuller stuff and all that. Just think positive, be happy and positive. It's not like that at all. It's that because I understand the times, I understand the word, I understand the signs that Jesus said, when you see these things begin to come to pass, look up. And it's not just be positive, look up because he's coming. That's why you look up. So ignore false teachers who rob you of your urgency or try to panic you with false prophecy. All over the place there's these people who say they believe in the pre-trib rapture. And I have a dream. Last night I had this dream. I had a vision. And they make these YouTube videos and everybody's watching them. Rapture could happen next week because of this dream this guy had. No, the rapture could happen today is because of the Bible.
Right.
And all those, and people have been having those stupid dreams and visions since the late 90s and putting them on YouTube like it's going to happen in a few weeks because that dream. Here we are 20 years later, still no rapture. I'm not going to base my belief in the imminent rapture of the church on anything other than the fact that God said, when you see these things begin to come to pass, look up.
That's right.
Amen.
God's people have been plagued with false teachers throughout history, by the way. I want to look at our reading, I think it was yesterday, Ezekiel 13. It's our Bible calendar reading, available at bbfire.com under resources, PDF downloads, and look for the BBF Bible reading calendar. And chapter 13 begins, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel that prophesy. And say thou unto them that prophesy out of their own hearts. I am here to tell you that the prophets of today are speaking out of their own hearts.
Yeah.
Hear ye the word of the Lord. Read verse 3 with me. Thus saith the Lord God, woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. Just because someone says, oh, I had a dream. Oh, I had a vision. Oh. You know what? First of all, I don't even believe until after the rapture, that's not going to happen. I'm not saying you can't have a dream where God speaks to you, but it's for you. I don't believe in the office of prophet where he gives you something for the rest of the world. We've got his word right here. Everybody who's saved has his Holy Spirit. Now, after the rapture, Bibles are going to be banned and burned and all that kind of thing. You're going to have 144,000 Apostle Pauls all anointed with the Holy Spirit going around the world preaching the gospel, having visions and dreams. And Joel says he'll pour out his Spirit and his sons and daughters will dream dreams and have visions. Old men will have dreams and visions. It's going to just spread out over God's people. We're not there yet.
That's right.
Most errors taught in churches are just the truth taken from the wrong, from the right dispensation and applied wrongly. Mm-hmm. That's what that is. So Jesus tells us to look up. That settles it. Amen? Forget the false teachers and don't get shaken by dreams and visions, because then when the rapture doesn't happen, then that'll hurt your faith. That'll hurt your walk with the Lord. How many people know somebody who is following a false teacher or something like that, and when they fell or their prophecy wasn't true or whatever, and they quit? You know why they quit? They didn't quit on the Lord. Their faith wasn't in the Lord. They were just revealing that their faith was in the wrong thing to begin with. So again, verse 28 says, "For your redemption draweth nigh." That's another thing people misunderstand. Redemption. Our redemption comes in two events. When you're saved, you are redeemed. That's a legal thing that happened to you. How many of you here today have your glorified body?
No.
Anybody going to claim that? How many of you have like perfect recall? You never walk into a, or like this morning, I walked in to get the hymn books. Jenny asked me one question. I went blank. And we arrived without the hymn books. That easy. I mean, I know if that's glorified, I'm in trouble. Those of you with arthritis?
No.
Aren't you glad that's not your glorified body?
Praise
migraines?
Amen.
You know, whatever it is your ailment is. But then when you're raptured, you will be redeemed at that point. And that's the practical, meaning you experience it at that point. Scripture with scripture. Let's look at the legal redemption in Galatians 3. Galatians chapter 3. That's why we are redeemed in that sense. That's why we know we can't lose salvation. We didn't win it. We didn't earn it to begin with. You are redeemed. Verse 13 and 14, Galatians chapter 3. Give me a second to get there. And look at those first three words. Say them with me. Christ hath redeemed. Stop right there. Christ hath redeemed.
Past tense.
Hath. So it's done deal. What did he redeem us from? The curse of the law being made a curse for us. Jesus took upon him all of our sin on that cross and paid for all of our sin. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. What do they make a cross out of?
A tree.
Verse 14, read that with me. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Everybody in here should say, thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Might come on the Gentiles. What? That redemption. We hath been redeemed. And then there is to come practical redemption. Turn over to Romans. Turn back a few pages in most of your Bibles. Romans chapter 8. Romans 8, 20 to 23. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be, what tense is that?
Future.
Shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption. And that's where we're in right now, in our bodies, and all that aches and pains and disease and everything is the bondage of corruption, into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Read the next two verses with me. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. That's when you're going to feel it. Right now we know it, because we know it's God's word. We trust God's word, but that's when we're going to feel it. We're going to be overcome by for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together. That's what it sounds like when I tell you people to stand. Oh. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. So in closing, I just want to say this. Jesus is coming soon.
Praise the Lord.
Rick, I have this analogy that just came to me a little while ago, talking about this, you know, redemption, past and future, that we were watching this guy do drag racing on YouTube, and really cool stuff. They buy a car at auction. They don't have the car in possession. They go get the car. Mm-hmm. The car's got problems. They fix it up. That's what we're looking at.
Yeah.
Jesus bought the car. He's going to come pick it up, fix everything that's wrong.
Amen.
That's right.
Try.
On a car.
And he is coming soon.
Oh, God.
How many of you know people that just don't even care about whether Jesus is coming soon or not? Even professing Christians.
Oh, yeah. Especially
that. And it's like you try to talk about Jesus coming soon, they don't even want to talk about it. Don't let that ruin your heart. Amen. Don't let that affect your heart. Amen. You know what? Sometimes you just got to get away from people. When they start talking like that, just get away from them. You hear somebody on TV or whatever, turn the channel, man. You know? I want to look at, in a closing reading, Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 15, or final reading here. I love, again, the previous verse 10 says, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For, read 11 with me. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Now that's half, past tense. And then those who are saved, verse 12 says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And in this present world, verse 13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And again, verse 14, who gave himself for us that he might what?
Redeem us
from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works, not working to be saved, working because we are saved. And working because we know the night is coming. Working because we know the time that we can do these things is short. You better preach the gospel now, because after the rapture, there's no one you can preach to. Everybody in heaven saved. When you return with Jesus to establish his kingdom, the gospel ministry is done. It's no longer we walk by faith and not by sight, because he's going to be right there on the planet and everybody's going to see him. Everything changes. So if you're going to preach the gospel to a lost soul, and maybe they do, maybe they don't get saved, that's none of your business. You're going to please the Father, and he's going to be happy with you every time you share that gospel message with the lost soul. Amen. And what are we here for? Are we here to please the Father?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. So if you preach the gospel, he will be pleased, and that's the whole point.
Amen.
Doug?
Oftentimes when I go out and I witness to people, and they try to drag you down, give them your testimony, because they can't take that away from it.
Amen.
Never.
Yeah, amen. In heaven, all of us will have one important thing in common. We'll have many things in common. But one important thing is how we answer this one question. Why are you here in heaven? Who is worthy?
Jesus.
There's only going to be one answer to that question. You are here in heaven because of what Jesus did. No one, there's no boasting. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You're not going to boast in heaven. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us.
Amen.
So that's throughout eternity. You're going to have that one thing in common with everybody in heaven.
Amen.
We're all going to be there because of Jesus.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Yep. Amen. Amen. Father, we thank You, Lord, for this time in Your Word. We thank You for all who were able to listen either in the house or on the phone or in some way on the internet. And we're thankful for the fellowship that we have with those who are believers in Jesus Christ. Such a wonderful blessing, and it is a taste of heaven to be able to talk to somebody who can answer that question the same way. Why are we going to heaven? All because of Jesus. And we thank You that You've given us this revelation of the things that we can see begin to come to pass, and we know You're coming soon. It's such a wonderful encouragement that we take for granted a lot of times. Thank You for Your Holy Spirit who gives us the understanding, and we can have that encouragement, and we can look up, not just some empty positive thinking. Look up, because our redemption draws nigh.
Amen.
We thank You and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. If you have your hymn book handy, turn to page 423. Stand if you can, page 423. This should be the main purpose of every true church on planet Earth. If there's a church that you know of, I'm talking to you here, you know, this church, if you don't know this, then you're not paying attention. The main purpose of this church is to equip you to be God's messenger out there.
Amen.
That you can talk to people about Jesus Christ, that they might be saved.
Amen.
If you know people in those other churches, I'm not telling you, you should leave that church, but you should pray for them.
Amen.
You should pray for them. They'll start to have discernment and realize they're not in a true church if that true church isn't about reaching the lost for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But I also believe that any true church is going to be excited about the any moment coming of Jesus Christ. Every time you take communion,
Amen.
You're looking forward to the return of Jesus Christ, as we did last week. And so much of what we do is all about getting the work done before He returns. And so keep that in mind as you're seeing this and as we close and you go out throughout your week. If you're not making a concerted effort to have the tracts, I know most of you are, but I don't know if everybody is. As your pastor, I just want to encourage you, try to make it a habit to have some gospel tracts on you. I fail. I don't always do it. I kick myself. Yeah, I see it. I try to kick myself. But we have to have that intention.
Amen.
And we have those tracks. And then also start talking to people about Jesus if you're not already. If you can. And if they're saved, great. You have a good conversation about your Savior.
Amen.
But if they're not saved, you get to tell them about our wonderful Savior. All right, so let's sing it. All four verses.
Story of peace and light, a story of
BBFOhio@protonmail.com. That's BBFOhio@protonmail.com. Raise your hand if you got a card. Janie's going to come around and collect. As we say goodbye on three, and Jill is out there listening, and all the others out there, we just want you to know we love you. And,
hey.
We miss you, Jill, and those Charlie and Ezra and Bronwyn and Olivia, Isla. And anyone else I'm missing, Dan came in, so I don't have to say hi to him. All right, so let's say goodbye on three. One, two, three. See you here, there, or in the air. God bless you all.
Bless you. Bye.